It's March 29th. Can you actually believe it? And you're listening to the Sunday Grill on Beat. If you are anything like me, the prospect of saving and investing and all of that makes you break out in a bit of a cold sweat. But it is something that we all need to start doing at one point or another. So joining me to chat all things money is Wexford woman Emer Kerwin from Jigsaw Business Solutions. You're very welcome to the Sunday Grill, Emer.
Good morning, Aoife, and thank you very much for having me, and hello to all your audience.
So, Emer, I am in my late 20s now. I save a little bit, but probably not enough. Where should I be starting when it comes to personal finances?
Well, what I would say is start creating really good habits. It's a bit like, you know, our health. Like, you know, if we create good financial habits, we will actually get to where we want to be. And I suppose the first point I would really ask anybody, I can do it my own young lads, you know, assess what you're spending. Look at it, like do a little budget for yourself and for a couple of months kind of track your spend. Say like, where's everything going? Because, and even like me, if you say, where does it go? Like, how the heck, how is there so much month left at the end of the money? You know, take stock and just do yourself a favour and just check where your money's going. That's the first tip.
And do you know what? I did have a look myself there lately, and I think like nowadays there are so many different subscriptions for streaming platforms, and you might have downloaded an app and paid for it 2 years ago and then you realise, oh god, I'm still paying for that thing. You know, there are little things like that that we probably don't really even realise.
Absolutely. And if you track, you'll see that kind of thing. But the one big tip is to go into your Google Play or your Apple Store and look at all the subscriptions that are there and kind of say to yourself, do I need those? Because you can actually cancel them. So just go in, take 10 minutes, like, you know, the Google app, the Play Store and Apple Play. Go in and find out, like, what am I paying for? As you say, you know, one night you're depressed and you pay for the Headspace. One day you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get this. And all of a sudden there's like hidden costs that you don't see. And once they're gone, they're gone. You have no real comeback. Like, so that's a good tip to go in and check all of those and cancel what's unnecessary.
And a really good place to start, as you say, should you be doing a budget? Should you write it out like you might have done in school, a household budget?
Yes, I'm actually developing one as we speak, like that I'm hoping to give out to anybody who comes to me. Yeah, it's really is tracking, like, you know, and, you know, budgeting then and say, look, I should only have like €300 for my social life this month or whatever. Because, you know, a lot of us tap. And, you know, in the morning we go, oh my God, like, you know, where if you bring cash with you and say, right, this is, or even put a pocket into your Revolut going, right, when that's gone, I'm going home. Or you do track, like, you know, and budgeting is a good kind of tool because, and it's not about, you know, not spending anything, but it's, you know, unnecessary spends or, you know, looking at your relationship with money and kind of saying, like, why did I buy that? You know, like a lot of us can be addicted to buying clothes, like, you know, we could be a coffee addict, you know, but are they necessary or what do they actually do for us, you know? Because if we've lots of money, it's fine. But if we're finding ourselves under pressure, why are we buying those things that are probably not actually giving us, might give us a kick initially, but, you know, long term, they're no value to us.
I'm a coffee addict and definitely I've had to limit myself to one nice cup a week. You know, it's not giving it up fully, but just I'll actually appreciate that nice coffee from the coffee shop if I get it once a week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What is rare is precious.
And in terms of saving then, if you are saving, where should it be? Should it be in a bank? Should it be in a credit union? Does it matter where you put your savings?
Well, it does. And I suppose it's really having those kind of, you know, how easily do you need to access your money? Like, are you having, like, you know, a little short term pot for a holiday? Are you looking at a long term pot, like about putting money aside for a mortgage? Like, when do you need to access the money? Are you looking at, you know, the longer things like of investing for like pension? Because like Einstein says, like, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And like, so anything you save over a longer amount of time really, really gives you value as you get older. And I know like in your 20s, you're not thinking about that, but I'm in my mid 50s now and I'm thinking, you know, what's like, how long more do I need to work? Like, what is my pension? What is my future person having? Because the later you leave that, it's harder to get the compound interest working. So, you know, the earlier the better, even small amounts. So again, like having little different pockets, shopping around for good interest rates. But really it's, you know, how easily do you need to access that money and when do you need it and what pot of money is for whatever different concept, as I said, like a mortgage, a holiday, you know, whatever, a party, something, you know, so have little different pockets and put different amounts of money into different places.
And that's a very interesting point that you made there about pensions. Is that something you need to do in your 20s, do you think?
I would absolutely recommend it in your early 20s. I would say just get it if you're in employment, you know, just now auto enrollment is coming down the tracks. That will be okay, but it still won't. But it is a good habit because you won't miss it. You know, we tend to see what's there and that's what we think we have available to spend. So if there's, now I know there's a cost of living crisis and I know it's difficult, but again, if you kind of don't have it, it's not available to you, and you will absolutely, your future self will thank you so much. Again, it's that concept of compound interest. And the same goes for when you go out to buy a mortgage. Like you, if you're buying over 35 years, the reverse is happening because that's costing you quite a lot of money over 35 years. The same money won't cost you quite as much over 25 years. And I've done a little kind of, say at a 4% interest rate, if you borrowed that kind of money over 35 years versus 25 years, you'd save yourself €120,000 in interest.
That is
significant
crazy
amount of money. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, so it's good. And it's knowing that it's when you go to the bank and want to borrow, people are a little bit nervous about the bank, but basically you're buying some money. And I always say to anyone going in and say, oh yeah, how much is this going to cost me? Because, you know, you are paying for the benefit of that money. And the longer you borrow, the more expensive it becomes. So it's good to know that when you're going in to buy money, because that's all you're doing. It's like a loaf of bread. Now it's obviously more expensive, but it's good to, you know, understand how much it's actually costing you.
Just on the mortgages, that is something that I am looking at the moment. I am not near where I need to be in terms of a deposit. How much of a deposit would you recommend in terms of a mortgage?
Well, I would, yes, recommend. And like the bank wants to see that you have a good saving pattern. Like if you've been renting, like that kind of, you know, adds kudos to if they can show a pattern. But obviously, the more you have, the less you have to borrow. So it is, but it's not easy to save. You know, we do live in a very kind of expensive time, but I suppose it's the pattern. And again, it's, do you get a kick out of saving or do you get a kick out of spending? So, but the more you have, the better. And, you know, even small pieces, because I was even thinking that I think a good thing that banks should consider, that if people have been renting, they should get some credit for that, I think. And I often think, I must talk to Mr. James Brown about it, our housing minister. It should give kudos, because ultimately it's hard to save and pay the equivalent in rent, because rent is literally another mortgage. Like, so it's hard for people to get out of the renting and into paying a mortgage. But there should be some consideration, I think, towards that. But yeah, the more you save, the better for you when you're going to borrow.
I wholly agree. And sometimes it does kind of feel hopeless and you're saying, God, I'm trying my best to save here, but I'm paying for my rent, I'm paying for my car. There's so many different bills and you do kind of feel hopeless. So then you say, do you know what? Flip it. I have this bit of money. I'm going to buy a coffee and so on. Do you think that that is a common trait amongst younger people? They kind of feel like, oh God, it's so far away. The prospect of owning a house seems so impossible. I'm going to do little things to make myself happy.
Yeah, and I do. And I have my daughter is 23 and always argues that. She goes, oh, Mom, when you bought a house, it was tuppence like and all. And, you know, she's not wrong. And it was, you know, relative to what we were earning, it's not as difficult. It wasn't as difficult for us to borrow. But I said to her, you know, there were some things we didn't do, though. We didn't go on holidays. We didn't have the extensions. We didn't have the hair. And I know she goes, oh, Mommy, stop. And I was going, but no, honestly, there are some sacrifices that, you know, in the long term will pay off. But it does seem hopeful. But I think that's not a good enough reason not to start some kind of pattern, because there are lots of supports out there, like, you know, especially if you've been working, you know, if you're buying a new build, there are some, because I actually wrote her a little letter about, you know, here's some things that don't make it some hopeless. I can email it to you later if you want, but it just shows that it is doable, but it's not really easy, which is really the unfairness. And it's, you know, the whole thing is wrong, you know, for young adults. They should really, it should be in their periphery that they can do it. You know, it is a bit disheartening to think that it is as difficult as it is. So what I kind of say to people, look at your committed spends, their rent, their electricity, their eggs, and then your kind of discretionary funds. And, you know, look, you know, what kick, like if you were able to, you know, get keys for a new apartment in 2 years, like that'll give you a serious kick. You know, and it is difficult, and I'm not trying to imply that it's not, and I don't want anyone to think it was. It was easier for my generation. It does seem a little bit more difficult for ye, like, you know, and I think, you know, as a nation, we need to address that. And there's always the conversations about the housing crisis. And but I think, you know, be prepared that, you know, you might get there, things might change, like, you know, and try to, I think, just create some kind of traction for yourself or some saving pattern.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for that, Eimear. I actually don't feel as hopeless. Before I leave you go, I know that you're involved with the Wexford Student Enterprise Programme and are extremely experienced in the area of business and starting up your own business. Let's just say I have a trade or I'm working in a trade at the moment and I want to go out on my own, or I have a brilliant idea. What advice would you have for young people that are really interested in starting up their own business?
Well, what I would say to them is, again, you know, crunch your numbers, like, you know, again, look at, you know, because you might think that, like, what lots of people don't see is the costs that are attached to a business. So, again, I think that lots of people go down this road, but the local enterprise office in Wexford is fantastic. There's like things like start your own business. There's the whole, the many hats you have to wear when you're a sole trader, because you might be good at being a plumber, but now you also have to, you know, if you employ people, you have to know about HR, you have to know about the whole world of finance and how it operates, like, you know. So definitely look into all the hats that you'll have to wear. Look for the supports that are available, and there's many of them out there now, like, you know, between all the government organizations. We do want and need lots of entrepreneurs in the country, because as you can see from the tax take recently, we're heavily dependent on the Googles and the Facebooks and the pharmaceuticals. So, but the lifeblood is still the small trader. There's about 290,000 sole traders in the country. There are lots of them there, but do get as much support as you can, reach out to networks, you know, because it can be a lonely journey, but it's definitely it can be very rewarding. But don't feel alone in it. Reach out, like, you know, because it gets complex when you start looking at VAT and turnover and how much money belongs to me and how much it doesn't. Because at least when you're a PAYE worker, what you get in your bank every week just belongs to you. You don't owe anybody anything out of it. But when you're a sole trader or a small company, you owe lots of people money that's sometimes gets kind of lost if you don't kind of follow processes and procedures.
Eimear, some brilliant advice in a range of different areas from you. That is Eimear Kerwin from Jigsaw Business Solutions in Wexford.